Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Enjoy our national anthem on this 4th of July. He was the first of many members of the family Plantagenet to be King of England. Henry II claimed the throne of England after his cousin, Stephen, died in 1154. Why is this important to contemporary small business owners? Well, Henry II is considered to be the founder of a legal system to which I believe entrepreneurs owe our freedom to be. And the world is a better place as a result of entrepreneurs having such freedom. As ambitious as he was intelligent, Henry's reasonably successful attempt to consolidate all of the British Isles under his rule created the need for order. His subsequent governmental and court reforms, intended more for his own political expediency than to empower the people, actually resulted in the emergence of a body of law which replaced elements of the feudal system that included such enlightened judicial practices as trial by ordeal. The evolution of this body of law, which became known as English common law, includes the famous Magna Carta, 1215, the Bail Act, 1444, the Petition of Rights, 1628, the Habeas Corpus Act, 1679, and the Bill of Rights, the English Bill of Rights, 1689, plus many other instruments and declarations which strengthened the rights of individuals and the ownership and enjoyment of property. Over five centuries after the death of Henry II, the legal and cultural tide of personal freedoms and protection of property for ordinary people caused England's youngest Prime Minister, William Pitt, to summarize the concept of individual rights and property under English law this way, and I quote, "The poorest man may, in his cottage, bid defiance to all the forces of the crown. It may be frail, its roof may shake, the wind may blow through it, the storms may enter, the rain may enter. But the King of England cannot enter. All his forces dare not cross the threshold of this ruined tenement." End quote. By the time Pitt spoke these words in the 18th century, to have been able to say this with impunity in England, let alone actually enjoy such liberty, demonstrated how far the invisible hand of Henry II's reforms had progressed. But across the Atlantic, in the colonies, there was a word in Pitt's quote that kept sticking in the craw of a certain group of malcontents, and there was also one word that was missing. The word they choked on, king. The missing word, freedom. In The Fortune of the Republic, Ralph Waldo Emerson wrote, "We began with freedom. America was opened after the feudal mischief was spent. No inquisitions here, no kings, no nobles, no dominant church. Just the kind," end quote, by the way, which is just the kind of world those malcontents, America's founders, envisioned and set about creating sans kings. In Origins of the Bill of Rights, Leonard W. Levy wrote, "Freedom was mainly a product of New World conditions. These conditions, as Thomas Jefferson so ably and famously wrote in the Declaration of Independence, were life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness," end quote. These were 18th century words for freedom and embryonic conditions for which all of the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence, July 4th, 1776, which we celebrate in America this week, these are words for freedom that those men put their lives and liberty on the line to give birth to. Going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to connect all this, small business owners, to you and to me right after these messages. Happy 4th of July. I'll be right back. Back, it's 17 till, and I'm talking about connecting the founders and what they did, this Declaration of Independence that they wrote, and the whole environment. I'm tying that in to you and me, to our reason for being, our ability to be who we are, small business owners, to do what we do as entrepreneurs. And you know, a decade after the signing of the Declaration of Independence, literally a decade, America's Bill of Rights, not the English one, but the America's Bill of Rights, which became the first ten amendments of the U.S. Constitution, clearly had its origins in the 100-year-old English document with the same name. But the English Bill of Rights was created in a world that perpetuated the divine right of kings. The American document, holding the New World's concept of personal rights and liberty, wasn't perfected to the founder's satisfaction until it perpetuated rights that were, as John Dickinson had declared two decades earlier in 1766, quote, born with us, exists with us, and cannot be taken from us by any human power without taking our lives, end quote. Take that, you kings. 200 years after Dickinson, philosopher, novelist, and prolific defender of capitalism, Ayn Rand wrote this, quote, "The most profoundly revolutionary achievement of the United States of America was the subordination of society to moral law," end quote. To Rand, moral law is made manifest by individual rights. And even though the seed of the American experiment can be found in English common law, Rand still considered the United States, quote, "the first moral society in history," end quote. The Global Entrepreneurial Monitor, which is a document, which is research that I started reporting to you about in 99, and they've been conducting it every year, which is a report of the level of entrepreneurship and how it's growing or waxing and waning or whatever around the world. The first one in 1999 revealed that there was a direct link between the rate of new business startups and a country's economic growth. The study also revealed that among the many factors that contribute to entrepreneurship, perhaps the most critical is, quote, "a set of social and cultural values, along with appropriate social, economic, and political institutions that legitimize and encourage the pursuit of entrepreneurial opportunity," end quote. The writer was talking about freedom, ladies and gentlemen. A set of social and cultural values, along with appropriate social and economic political institutions, contracts, those kinds of things, that legitimize and encourage the pursuit of entrepreneurial opportunity. That's freedom. In countries ranking high in the studies in the Global Entrepreneurship Monitor studies analysis, entrepreneurship is an integral and accepted feature of economic and personal life. of the 10 industrialized nations that they studied, the United States ranked number one in terms of entrepreneurship. The study coordinator, Paul Reynolds, said there is, quote, conclusive evidence that promoting entrepreneurship and enhancing the entrepreneurial dynamic of a country should be an integral element of any government's commitment to boosting economic well-being, end quote. He was talking, ladies and gentlemen, about freedom. Entrepreneurs, by definition, take risks. Without the freedom to own and enjoy the fruits of such risks, why would we take them? Thank you, Henry II. And thank you, founders, because without your vision, courage, passion, and yes, your sacrifice, plus all who rallied to your cry to give birth to the new world definition of freedom, without all that, it's doubtful that entrepreneurship as we know it would exist. And if capitalism is the economic lever of democracy, entrepreneurship is the force that renews the strength and reliability of that lever for each new generation. My friends, we began with freedom. Freedom to dream and to try. Freedom to succeed and to fail. Freedom to own and to enjoy. Freedom to accumulate, and freedom to pass along what we've accumulated to the next generation. We began with freedom, my friends, and entrepreneurship was born. We began with freedom, and capitalism was made to flourish. We began with freedom, and in my opinion, the world is the better for it. Ladies and gentlemen, we have an incredible opportunity this nation that we've been given, this concept, the idea that we have these rights and these liberties. We have an opportunity to leverage them. We've been given this, bequeathed this great legacy, to leverage these for our own account, to grow them, to enjoy them, to pass them on to our children. And we've also been given a responsibility. We've been given a responsibility for the stewardship of all of that. And I pray, and I hope you'll join me in this prayer. I pray that we do the right thing. I'm going to take a quick break. We come back. I got a few more things to say about today, about what's going on today, this 4th of July, Independence Day in America, a great day, the greatest day, perhaps, certainly the greatest day in the history of our country. It's almost 10 till. I'm Jim Blassing. Stay with me. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're rocking and rolling on this 4th of July. Happy Independence Day, America. My pleasure to continue to be with you. This is my 11th consecutive live 4th of July program. I want to talk to you a little bit about George Washington's farewell address. When he left after declining to serve for a third term, which set an incredible precedent that lasted for way more than 100 years, 130 or so years, was never written. It was just a precedent that he set, and nobody broke it before Roosevelt and in the 1930s. And the date was September 19, 1796, in his farewell address to the people, in which he declined that term. Washington gave us a name, a distinction, and a bond. And this is a quote from his farewell address. The name American, which belongs to you in our national capacity, must always exalt the just pride of patriotism. You have in a common cause fought and triumphed together. The independence and liberty you possess are the work of joint counsels and joint efforts, of common dangers, sufferings, and successes, end quote. I like knowing that Washington called us Americans. Now, apparently, according to others that we've had on the show today, this wasn't the first time that they considered themselves Americans, but there's something special about Washington using that term. because he'd been born a British citizen, and he'd converted as many of the others, as most of the all the others had, really. He'd become an American in this fight that he was talking about, among these common dangers and successes and the joint efforts that they had. But when he talks about these things, I think it sounds like you and me, small business owners. Small business are like America's founders. We fight for our independence every day, don't we? We fight for that independence. Our common cause is self-determination, and our joint councils are the relationships and the communities that we build. The dangers we face are not usually as life-threatening as those of the American revolutionaries, but other than our lives, we put everything else on the line, don't we, small business owners? Washington gave the name American. He said that name should exalt the pride of patriotism. For American entrepreneurs, that name exalts the pride of our spirit and the independence and excellence. And so in America this week, we celebrate our independence. If you're an entrepreneur, wherever you are, you celebrate independence every day of the year, even if you're not an American. If you're an entrepreneur, you celebrate your independence every day of the year. And because of that, that's the reason why I think General and President George Washington would have been proud of you. I thought you might like to hear some of the words that were part of the Declaration of Independence that Thomas Jefferson wrote and that some other people contributed to, including Benjamin Franklin, helped him edit this. Here's the first part of it, the Declaration of Independence. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths, this is a very beautiful part, folks. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. To secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. And he goes on, in the Declaration of Independence, that whatever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, as to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and their happiness. Ladies and gentlemen, when I think about these men and the women that were the founders of our country, the giving of their lives, the shedding of their blood, the jeopardy that they placed themselves in, the honor that they risked, even their honor. I think about the shoulders, their shoulders, that you and I stand on. I pray, and I hope you will join me in this prayer, I pray that we are worthy of their sacrifice. Happy Independence Day, America. It's my pleasure to be with you. It's always a pleasure to be able to spend time with you. And I hope you have a great, safe, happy 4th of July. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.